Welcome to the Science Dog Podcast. I'm Linda Case, the host of this podcast and the author of the Science Dog blog and books, which can be found at thesciencedog.com. I would like to let you know about one of our favorite projects, the Science Dog courses. These are online nutrition and health courses with a bit of behavior and training thrown in for good measure. We offer webinars, short courses, and longer courses for those of you who wish to do a deep dive into canine nutritional science. There are even some free webinars available. And who doesn't love free stuff? To learn more, just visit the Science Dog courses at courses.thesciencedog.com. That's courses.thesciencedog.com. Today we take a look at rawhide dog chews and treats. Although many dog owners provide these chews to their dogs, what exactly do we know, or not know, about their nutritional value and safety? Today we look at some research that provides valuable information to help owners decide whether or not to give rawhide products to their dogs. This episode is a shortened version of the Science Dog essay with the same title. To read the complete essay, just visit the Science Dog blog at thesciencedog.com. If you follow the blog, you will receive notifications about new articles and offers from the Science Dog. Well, a dog person really cannot walk into a pet supply store without noticing the explosion in the number of dog chews, dental devices, and edible bones that are available for sale today. Some of these are biscuits or extruded concoctions that contain a mixture of ingredients, while others originate from cow skin, rawhide chews, or are the leftover body parts of a hapless food animal. These are things such as pigs and lamb's ears, hooves, and bully sticks. I'm not even going to tell you what a bully stick is. So even as the selection of these items has expanded, nutritional information about them is still very absent. Since all of these products are intended to be chewed slowly by our dogs so that the pieces or the entire product will be gradually consumed by the dog, it would be nice to know whether or not these items are actually digested by dogs, wouldn't it? We talk about food and nutrient digestibility a lot on the Science Dog blog because digestibility information is an important quality to measure in dog foods and treats. The term dry matter digestibility refers to the proportion of a dog's food that the dog's gastrointestinal tract is capable of breaking down, digesting, and absorbing into the dog's body. Therefore, when we talk about the digestibility of a dog food, we are primarily concerned with the food's nutrient value and ability to nourish the dog. However, when we are considering the digestibility of rawhide treats, chews, and dental products, our interests are a little bit different, but equally important. This is because any portion of a chew that is broken off and swallowed will travel through the length of the dog's gastrointestinal tract just like any other food. And if the dog is able to bite off large chunks or swallow an entire chew at once, that piece has the potential to cause digestive upset, impede normal gut motility, or in the worst case scenario, cause obstruction if it is not dissolved and digested as it moves along. Lucky for us, a team of nutrition researchers at the University of Illinois Department of Animal Sciences decided to examine exactly this question. They set about comparing the digestibility of different types of dog chews. Two studies were conducted, both using what is called an in vitro or test tube technique. This technique has been validated as a measure of the digestive conditions that occur in a dog's stomach and small intestine, so it can be used to do laboratory studies of food and treat digestibilities without having to actually test on dogs. This is a benefit both for science, in that many types of foods and treats can be rapidly and consistently tested, and even more so in terms of animal welfare, because the development of these types of tests mean that there is less need for conducting digestibility trials with actual dogs. So it is a win-win for both science and for the dogs, really. Okay, so the first study compared in vitro dry matter digestibilities of sample products from 6 broad categories of dog treats. The second study compared just 2 types of treats, pork skin versus beef rawhide chews. When we return, we will find out their results. The 2 studies found some important differences between different types of dog chews. First, chews that were made from pig's ears, which are composed primarily of cartilage and the structural protein collagen, had very low gastric or stomach digestibilities, about 14%. What this means in practical terms is if you fed your dog a 10-ounce pig ear, less than 1.5 ounces of that chew would be broken down in your dog's stomach, while 8.5 ounces would leave the stomach and enter his small intestine. If your dog swallowed a large piece of this chew, this means that a large piece would be entering his intestines and pose a potential risk of obstruction. The somewhat good news is that once pig ears move into the dog's intestinal environment, the digestibility of them increases greatly. Pig ears are almost completely digested in the intestinal environment, about 90%. This means that if your dog chews up his pig's ear first, that those small pieces, once they leave his stomach and enter his small intestine, will be almost fully digested as they pass through. So, what about beef rawhide chews? How did those fare? Well, with the exception of a single brand, beef rawhide chews made from cow skin were also very poorly digested in the stomach. These differed from pig's ears, though, in that most of the beef rawhide chews continued to have low digestibility even in the intestinal environment. Because of this big difference, the fact that most beef rawhide chews are not broken down in the stomach or in the intestine, the researchers cautioned that feeding rawhide chews to a dog who tends to consume large pieces might increase that dog's risk for intestinal blockage, since beef rawhide chews are not being broken down and digested efficiently in the dog's stomach or in their intestinal tract. Last, how did pork skin chews do? Note that these are a different type of treat from pig's ears. So when pork skin chews were compared directly to a beef rawhide chew, the pork skin product's digestibility was significantly greater than that of beef rawhide chews. After 6 hours, which is about the time it takes for a meal to begin to leave a dog's stomach and enter the small intestine, a pork skin chew was more than 50% digested in the stomach. By comparison, the beef rawhide chew was only 7.6% digested in the stomach, very low. Similar to pig's ears, the pork skin rawhide was almost 100% digested while in the small intestine. This can be compared to the beef rawhide chew that reached only about 70% digestibility in the small intestine. These are big differences. So, probably the most interesting results of these 3 studies was the finding of such a large difference between the digestibilities of pig's ears, pork skin chews, and beef rawhide chews. The reason this is of significance is that because some dogs consume these types of chews rapidly and swallow large chunks of them, the fact that pig's ears and pork chews, but not beef rawhide chews, are partially degraded in the stomach and then are highly digestible overall may be important for some owners to consider. These data suggest that if an owner is going to feed some type of rawhide chew, and mind you, I am not personally advocating for feeding these types of treats at all. We actually don't feed them to our dogs. But if one was choosing and had a dog who might consume the treat rapidly or chew off large chunks, Feeding a pork skin chew or a pig's ear appears to be a safer bet than a beef rawhide chew. The title of the complete essay on this topic, found on the Science Dog blog, is Keep Those Doggies Rollin', Rawhide, Rawhide. Complete references can be found at the blog as well. To read it, just visit thesciencedog.com. That's thesciencedog.com.